Right. Good evening, everybody. So two shilas that came up this week, both came in the form of one in the form of a text message, one in the form of an email. So the one that came as a text or a WhatsApp reads as follows. Pretty short question, pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Hi, Rabbi Leibowitz. She tells me her name. It's a local dentist, a female dentist in the community. I have a quick question. Do the halachos of not making a parent bleed apply to grandparents as well? My grandmother broke her tooth, and for me to fix it, she will probably bleed. So she wants to know whether a grandchild is allowed to do dental work on a grandparent, which is going to cause them to bleed. That's shaila number one. Shaila number two came in the form of an anonymous email, which happens more frequently than you would probably guess. Where a person calls himself Shlomo, and the first words of his email are, "My name isn't really Shlomo." Meaning he's letting me know that he's being anonymous over here. But I wanted to ask a private question, so I thought best to ask anonymously. There is a condition, I don't know how to pronounce this, but I'll explain, paruresis, which is commonly known. Does anyone know? Anyone know what I'm referring to? No? Okay. It's commonly known as shy bladder syndrome. What it means is that someone can't use the bathroom in the presence of others, i.e. a public bathroom. The condition ranges from not being able to go in a public bathroom to simply being uncomfortable using a urinal. Additionally, when one has this condition, they can't just make themselves go. Sometimes they have to wait for everyone to leave the bathroom before they can go. Statistics show that 2.8% of the world population has this condition, which means that a lot of people are suffering from this but don't want to talk about it. The area this condition becomes an issue is before davening. A lot of times I'll need to go to the bathroom before Maariv or Mincha, but the only option is a public bathroom. It's not that I can just make myself go in a pressurized situation of needing to go a couple of minutes before Maariv. Many times, I just end up waiting, davening Maariv, and going later. I know that technically I have some time, but I'm nervous that I'm being over on Bal Teshaktsu. What does Rebbe think? So those are our two shilas, about wounding a grandparent by doing dental work on a grandparent, or about paruresis, shy bladder syndrome. So if everyone could just vote in the chat over here, and then I'll figure out which one to do. And I know Henry wants all of them. Oh, no, Henry voted. Right. Okay. Oh, it looks like an overwhelming favor to paruresis. Okay. I guess we'll do the grandparent one a different time. Okay, fantastic. So let's get into it. Meaning this is the sugya of Bal Teshaktsu, or one of the sugyas of Bal Teshaktsu. Before we get into that, first, whenever someone asks you a question about a particular condition, you just have to make sure that it exists. You have to make sure that this is really something that people have. So I went on the internet, and sure enough, Wikipedia. Paruresis, also known as shy bladder syndrome, is a type of phobia in which a person is unable to urinate in the real or imaginary presence of others, such as a public restroom. Meaning even some, it depends how severely you have it. Some people, even if there's nobody else there, but if it's a public restroom, so they feel that it's a place that's open to other people being there and is therefore going to cause them this anxiety. Meaning it does seem to be a condition that's more mental health related than physical health. Health related, obviously having clear implications for physical health, but it seems to be based on this anxiety that a person has. It's like a form of anxiety or OCD or something like that. The analogous condition that affects bowel movement is called paruresis or shy bowel. The condition is recognized by the American Urological Association, who included in their online directory of conditions. So how's it treated? In terms of treating the mental aspects of paruresis, such treatment can be achieved by graduated exposure therapy and cognitive behavioral therapy. In graduated exposure therapy, the subject has a trusted person stand outside the restroom at first, and once the fear is overcome, the observer is brought closer in until step by step the phobia is vanquished. The International Paruresis Association provides a detailed discussion of this method on its website. in addition to gradual exposure therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy is easy to change a is used to change a sufferer's mental approach to the condition from one of a person who cannot urinate to a person who can urinate or is not overly fearful when they can't publicly urinate. So that is the basic idea of this condition. So the question is, the fellow shows up to daven mincha mariv, and he has to use the bathroom, and he knows the halacha is you're not supposed to hold it in, but he's not going to use the bathroom in shul. His only other option is going to be to run back home and use the bathroom. He doesn't want to use a public bathroom, or he's unable to use a public bathroom. Is it worth missing mincha mariv, and perhaps even the zman in certain occasions, so that he can go home and use the bathroom, or should he just, you know, he'll make it. Nothing's gonna happen if he davens now. So is there any issue with that? So in order to get a handle on the situation, it's important to know like what exactly the issur is, what the issur is of holding oneself in, and what the issur is of davening while holding oneself in. And those are really two separate issues. As far as the issur of holding oneself in, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Makos and Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis, Amar Rav Achai. There's a question in the Balei HaTosfos. Whenever the Gemara says Rav Achai, is that an Amora named Rav Achai, or is that Rav Achai Gaon? And sometimes writings of the Gaonim made their way into the Gemara itself. But anyway, it sounds like an Amora that Amar Rav Achai Hamashes Nekavav Over Mishum Lo Teshaktsu. That a person who holds themselves in is in violation of this issur of lo tishaktsu. The Gemara says this isn't the only thing that's a violation of lo tishaktsu. If you drink from kelim that are used for bloodletting, right? You go to donate blood and you just take one of the kelim that had just had blood emptied out. You rinse it out and you fill it up with the apple juice that they have there, and you take a drink or something. So that's also a violation of bal tishaktsu. The Gemara says that if a person, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Tzadi says a person eats a dug tohor chai, it's a violation of bal tishaktsu. If you eat a kosher fish, it doesn't require shechita, but a live kosher fish, it's a violation of bal tishaktsu. Rishonim give other examples. The Rambam says that if a person eats something that has urine or vomit in it, that's a violation of bal tishaktsu. The Radvaz says, even if it's not human urine, even if it's animal urine, that's a violation of bal tishaktsu, as one can well imagine that these things would be something that would be disgusting. And the Chinuch includes anything that's nifsa me'achilas adam. Anything, you know, in Hilchus Kashrus, we say, oh, once it's nifsa me'achila, so it's not a nevela ru'i leger. There's actually in our Yerodei Ashir this week, for those who are in the Yerodei Ashir, this coming week we're going to do that sugya of that which is nifsa me'achila. So once something is not ru'i leachilas adam, it's not a Kashrus problem anymore, because only a nevela haru'i leger is kriya nevela. But if a nevela is not, right, because the pasuk says, the Torah tells us that you should give it to the ger shebishrecha when you have a nevela or lenachri or mechor lenachri. So we darshan from that. The Gemara Nevel Dezar darshans that only the type of food that you can give to another human and the other human would be interested in eating it is going to be a problem of nevela or of treif or of anything. But if it's not edible to a human, then it's not a kashrus problem. Comes along the Chinuch, and he says, not a kashrus problem, but if a person then does eat it, it's bal tishaktsu. They're in violation of eating that which is disgusting. Of course, in the Torah, it means none of these things. Meaning in the context in the Torah, it's not about either of these things. There's even a discussion in the Rishonim, which pasuk of bal tishaktsu are we talking about? There are two separate pasukim in the Torah, both in Sefer Vayikra, one about eating shratzim, and the other about eating nevelos, that they're both referred to as being tishaktsu esnafsho seichem. So it's even a discussion that we've shown him which pasuk the Gemara is using to expand to include all of these other disgusting things. But certainly the pashup shot, the simple reading of the pasuk, is about either eating shratzim or the other pasuk about eating nevelos, and these are additional levels of interpretation of the pasuk. So that, once it's an additional level of interpretation, so it begs the question, is it an issa d'oraisa Or is it an Isser Derabanan? So the Yereim in Siman Ayin Gimel and the Smak in Siman Pei say that it's an Isser Daraisa, and the Ritva quotes that from the Ramah as well, that it's an Isser Daraisa. The Gemara says that it's a violation, it's over Mishum Lo Tishaksu, so that's a violation on a Daraisa level. It's interesting. Mishum is a different lashon than shene'emar. I think Rashi writes somewhere in Shas, I don't remember where, that when you have the lashon mishum shene'emar, it's different than when the Gemara would just say shene'emar. When the Gemara says shene'emar, it means that it's a daraisa. Mishum means, you know, similar to, that it's sort of like, meaning not always an exact. That's why Rav Sternbach has in the tshuva when we say by Sfiras HaOmer, we say a little Yehi Ratzon before Sfiras HaOmer, even if you don't say L'Shem Yichud, but there's a little Hinni Muchan HaMezuman before Sfiras HaOmer. So what does it say in the Sidurim? Hinni Muchan HaMezuman L'Kai Mitzvah Shal Sfiras HaOmer Kamosha Kosev Batorah. The Rav Shomrach points out that that's really incorrect, because we paskin Sfiras HaOmer b'zman hazeh d'rabanan. So how can you say that you're about to fulfill the mitzvah kamo shekasev b'Torah? You're in fact not about to fulfill the mitzvah kamo shekasev b'Torah. So he suggests that you should change it to mishum shene'emar. By saying mishum shene'emar, that gives an implication that it's not really from the pasuk; it's just somehow related to the pasuk. But over here, it's not really Mishum Shana, it just says Mishum. It's over Mishum. It's not even Mishum, it's over Mishum. So that sounds like a Doraisa. And that's why a number of the Rishonim assume that this is in fact an Issa Doraisa. The Ritva, however, quotes Yesh Mefarshim that it's only Midrabanan. The Pasuk is an Asmachta. Beis Yosef in Yardeas and Kufta Zayin is Mesupag about it. But the Taz says clearly in Sifkat and Vav and Yardea over there that it is Doraisa, while the Mishnah Melech in Machalos Asuras Perk Yud Zayin assumes that it's only midrabanan. There is a wild chiddush of the Ra'ah in Bedek Abayis, where he says that even eating shratzim, if they're nifsal me'achila, is not called bal teshaksu on a daraisa level. But that's a huge chiddush. Meaning, he says if it's nifsal me'achila, it's no longer the issue of eating shratzim, because it's not eating anymore. So it wouldn't be a violation on a daraisa level. But that's a very great chiddush. Meaning, Pashto says if you eat shratzim, that's certainly an issue daraisa. Right, so the question is about, you know, the extensions, you know, that which goes beyond eating shratzim. Well, Shitas HaRambam is fascinating also. I mean, what exactly does the Rambam hold? The Rambam, in Sefer HaMitzvot, Slos HaSeh Kufayin Tes, says that it's a violation of Baal Teshaktsu, but you're not Chayiv Malkus, because the pasuk is really about eating shratzim. Meaning all of these other things, all of these other disgusting activities, is Baal Teshaktsu, but you're not going to be chayv malchus for this kind of bal teshaktsu. So it's only makas mardus. The tefuah shor in Yardes, I mean, Yud Gimel points out that the implication of the Rambam, when he says you're not going to be chayv malchus, but he counts it in Sefer HaMitzvos, is that it's an issur daraisa. Meaning the Rambam is telling you that there's an issur daraisa bal teshaktsu. It's in the minyan of mitzvos. And in describing that mitzvah, he includes all of these disgusting things. He just then says, oh, but you're not going to get Malkus Doraisa, you only get Makas Mardus, for whatever reason. You only get Makas Mardus. So the implication, says the Tefuah Shor, is that it in fact is an Issur Doraisa. In the Lechem Chamudos and Brachos in the third parak in Ospei Dalid, he's Medayik from Loshon of the Rambam in Hilchos Macholos Asuros, Parak Yud Zayin, who says the Rambam in Mishnah Torah says, Asru chachamim ma'achalos u'mashkin shenefesh rov mnei adam kiyaben, that if you have something that most people would find disgusting, the chachamim asur it. And he gives examples. Kigon ma'achalos u'mashkin shenesar v'bem ki otsoa v'lecha srucha, if you have food or drinks that have mixed in it vomit or excrement or pus or things like that. So, but the lashon of the Rambam, asru chachamim, sounds like it's only derabanan, right? Sounds like it's not a din daraisa, which is strange, because in the Sefer HaMitzvos, just by including it in the mitzvah, makes it sound like it's a din daraisa. But be that as it may, it's definitely aser, right? There's definitely a point where there is a violation on some level. question is, if you hold that it's d'oraisa, then why taka isn't there malchus, right? The Rambam says the way that the Tzvur Shor was medayik in the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos, yes, it's d'oraisa, but no malchus. So the Beis Yosef in Yerodeah, some Kufta Zayin, says that the Chum must have had a mesorah that there's no malchus. He can't explain it, but they must have had a mesorah. I don't know, why is there no malchus on the Chatzi Shir? Because we have a mesorah, there's no malchus on Chatzi Shir, even though Chatzi Shir, Asur Min HaTorah. Right? People often think that a Chatzi Shir is only Asur Midrabanan. That's not how we pass. We pass on Chatzi Shir is Asur Min HaTorah. Sometimes when people ask Shailas right before Yom Kippur, they work with the assumption that if they have only a Chatzi Shir, then they're not really doing anything wrong. Then it's not really a violation of Yom Kippur. No, we pass on Chatzi Shir is Asur Min HaTorah. It's a violation of a Raisa, and you would need to be pretty sick in order to permit violating a Doraisa. We do it all the time, right? We are makel to have Chatzi Shir when someone is very sick, but that's certainly, I've never had in all my years, I've never had someone who mamish had to eat on Yom Kippur. Meaning, if as long as they planned, meaning who had to eat a full shear on Yom Kippur, as long as they planned ahead, you can get plenty of food and plenty of nutrition, plenty of liquid with a Chatzi Shir, if you know in advance that you're sick enough. If a person doesn't know in advance and then something happens in Yom Kippur, then there's nothing you can do about it. But every year, I try to make sure that after Yom Kippur, I reach out to whoever I gave a psak to one way or the other. Anyone who asked a shayla about eating or drinking on Yom Kippur, just to see how things went, because I don't want in my head that, first of all, stop, I just care about people, I want to make sure that they're okay, but also, I need to know for the future if I'm misguiding people, or if if a pregnant woman really taka wasn't able to do it, or didn't, that's important data to have. But anyway, Chatzi Shir is Asur Min HaTorah, but yet there's no Malkus on the Chatzi Shir, right? So says the Beis Yosef, Hu Adin, when it comes to Baal Teshaktsu, Asur Min HaTorah, but there's no Malkus on these other forms of Baal Teshaktsu. The Taz says, no. The reason there's no Malkus is because it's Lav Shebechlalos. Whenever you have a Lav Shebechlalos, it's not going to be Malkus. If you have a Pasuk in the Torah, and it means five different things, so you're not going to have Malkus, meaning the Isra in the Torah means don't eat Shratzim. So now it also means, and don't eat foods that have urine in it, and don't hold yourself in from going to the bathroom, and don't drink out of blood letters, kelimida. So it means all these different things. So it's a lav shebechlalos. A lav shebechlalos, you're not going to get malchus on, right? What's a classic example of lav shebechlalos? Is lo sochel al adam. Right, that the Gemara Maseches Brachos darshins that it means that you shouldn't eat before you're mespalel al dimchan, before you're mespalel, you can't eat before davening. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says it means that the Sanhedrin shouldn't eat when they're going to execute somebody. Right, so and there are other drushes also what lo sochel al dam means, but the point is that makes it a lav shebechlalos, a pasuk that itself means many different halachos. So the Tzvur Shor explains that you're certainly chayv malchus for eating shratzim, meaning the simple pshat of the pasuk is on a level all of its own, right? Eating shratzim is what the pasuk means. Everything beyond that is an additional, even if it's d'oraisa, it's an additional level of interpretation. So the only part that's lav shebechlalos are those additional levels of interpretation. But the actual eating of shratzim, that you'd for sure be chayv malchus on. And the Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Yud Dalid, points out that, yeah, very similar by the Yisur of Lo Sisko Dedu. Right, what does Lo Sisko Dedu mean? So everyone knows Lo Sisko Dedu is don't become agudos agudos, that everyone shouldn't divide up into separate camps, everyone should observe a singular minhag within a shul, you shouldn't have some people in a shul davening this nusach and other people davening another nusach, and this one standing and that one sitting and doing all sorts of different practices within a single shul or within a single community, that you shouldn't be agudos agudos. But that's not what the pasuk actually means. It's not what the simple reading of the pasuk is. Lo Sisko Dedu is that you're not supposed to cut yourself in mourning. That if someone dies, there are halachos and Jewish ways of expressing avelus. One of them is not to cut yourself. That was a very common practice that people would cut themselves in as a sign of mourning, and we don't do that. We dafka don't do that. I remember once there was a boy, when I was a counselor in camp many years ago, there was a musician by the name of Jerry Garcia, who had a Ben and Jerry's ice cream named after him. Cherry Garcia, but that's anyway. So Jerry Garcia died, and one of the kids in camp actually cut himself. Now that is obviously, that's like a red flag. I mean, that's someone who has a serious mental health issue and had to be dealt with, and we only became aware of it because of that. And you know, as kids, like, you know, counselors are, what are counselors ready? We're 17 years old. We're just like, whoa, that kid is nuts. You know, like, he obviously needed significant amount of help, and thank God we were able to get him the help that he needed. But that's what Lo Siskodu means. So you're chayv malchus for that, says the Kesef Mishnah. But if you decide to, I don't know, say, say Yugim Lido Sarachim et Tachnum et Mincha in Nusach Ashkenaz Shul, you're not going to be Chayv Malkus, right? That's not becoming Agudos. That you're not going to be Chayv Malkus for. Shulchan Aruch and Simon Tzadi Beis says, okay, now that we have this issue, you're not allowed to hold yourself in. Shulchan Aruch says, you can't daven while you are holding yourself in. Meaning, once you get to the point of Baal Teshaktzu, you're not allowed to daven, say brachos, and things like that. It's interesting, are you allowed to do other mitzvos? So the Bir Halacha in Simon Tavkov Peches says that we never find an issur to do mitzvos when you have to go to the bathroom. Meaning, he really talks about being in a makom that's eno naki. Let's say you're in an unclean area. Can you not do any mitzvos? So, can you blow shofar? Tavkov Peches, Hilchos Shofar. Can you blow shofar in an area that's not naki? So, okay, shofar might be different because shofar is a form of tefillah. Shofar is normally in the context of tefillah. Shofar requires a bracha. But in general, are mitzvahs able to be done? I remember once in DRS, Rav Chizkiya Nevinsal walked into the building, and that was like a surprise. So Rav Chizkiya Nevinsal, thank God some of the Nativ Aryeh boys recognized him, and they immediately ran over to him. So we had him give a shir to some of the post-high school boys that we had there at the time. And this is what he gave a shir about that bir halacha. He spoke about whether you can fulfill mitzvos when you're in an area that's unclean. So the bir halacha seems to assume that you can, and that you can also, therefore, meaning it's no different, the makom she'eino naki versus a guf she'eino naki, that you're allowed to fulfill mitzvos. Obviously, you also have to, even to have a hava mina, you'd have to distinguish between different types of mitzvahs, right? It would have to be an active mitzvah. Like, you can't say, oh, I can't have Avas Hashem right now because, you know, I'm in a makom she'eino naki. That would be ridiculous, right? So, you know, I can't fulfill the mitzvah slosase of not doing avodah zarah. So I have to, meaning, obviously, not let it violate averos just because you're in a makom she'eino naki. How much holding in is considered... holding in. Simon just put in the chat the Ramah about a woman shouldn't be tovelis when she needs to urinate. By the way, I got that shayla this week also, but that was also an OCD shayla, meaning it was a woman who has OCD saying she thinks maybe she had to urinate when she was tovel a month ago, so what should she do now? So, you know, that was an easier question to deal with. But that's a chatzitza issue. That's not, that's not about... I don't think that's about the bracha and the mitzvah, but it's an interesting tzushtel, right? Meaning, if she really has to go to the bathroom, then how could she say the bracha and the tevila, right? So you're not so. Let's discuss how badly do you have to go to make it that it's a violation of the issur. So the Rambam in Hilchos Deos writes that really you should go right away. He says Al yishin kavav v'filu rege echad el kolz man shetzarich lahashin el hasich esraglov yamud miat. Just go, and that's in general. But to get to the point where you can't daven, it would have to be much more desperate. The Nosei Kelim and the Shulchan Aruch Rav also, and all the Achronim say that it's only Baal Teshaktzu if you have to go so badly that you can't get your mind off of it, that you need to go so badly that as soon as you let your guard down, it's going to start coming out. Meaning that's how desperate it has to be. Mishra Bruin Sim Sadi Beis, if Katan Zion writes that Vim Yachol Ishos Yosim K'day Hiluch Parsa, if you could wait longer than 72 minutes before you'll just lose all control, even though it's better to go earlier, and you're allowed to learn Torah, you're allowed to say brachos during that time. That's not the lashon of Mishabura, that's the lashon of Rav Melamed in his Pnimei Halacha, quoting the Mishabura. But that certainly, if you'd be able to hold it in for 72 minutes, then you can for sure daven. In Piskei Tshuvos in Simon Tzadi Beis, he has an interesting thing. He tells us that really society has changed a lot. That it used to be people would have a very consistent diet, Every single day they would eat the same thing and at the same time, and their bodies were very regimented, and they went to the bathroom at the same time every single day. And they knew exactly how long they had before they had to go to the bathroom, because going to the bathroom was an ordeal. It involved going, outside the city to where the outhouses were. So it was a whole ordeal to go to the bathroom. So that's when people are very attuned to these kinds of things. He says, if you're not sure how badly you have to go, the majority of poskim, with the notable exception of the Aruch HaShulchan, hold that you can be mekel and you can daven. What if you started something and then you have to go? You started learning, davening, and then you have to go. So if it got in the middle of davening, got to the point that you're not going to be able to wait another 72 minutes, but you don't have to go like right now, most poskim say that you should stop in what you're doing. But if you're in the middle of an inyan, you can delay a little bit. That's what the Bir Halacha writes in Siman Sadi Beis. However, others suggest that even in the middle of an inyan, it's better to stop right away in order to go to the bathroom. There are other factors also. The Ben Ish Chai in Parshas Vayetze writes that holding yourself in is monea atzmo taras hamachshava, that it has a negative impact on a person's taras hamachshava. So meaning there's some sort of beyond the Isser Bal Teshaktsu, there is some sort of other negative impact. But even just put more practically, the Rambam in the 17th paragraph of Machlokes Surus writes, "Hamisapik min lispanos," that it's mazik lebriuso, it's unhealthy for a person to not go to the bathroom, and that's based on the Gemara's. The Gemara in Yevamos writes, and it's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Gimel, that a man who holds himself back could cause himself to become sterile. So there, it's considered to be a very unhealthy thing for one to hold themselves in. So what's the exception? Are there any exceptions to the rule? So the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Gimel writes that you're allowed to hold yourself in for the sake of Kavod HaBrios. That includes a Shliach Tzibur is in the middle of davening, Rabbi is in the middle of the Drasha, right? The Rabbi in the middle of the Drasha doesn't have to say, even though most of the time people won't mind if he cuts it a little short, but he doesn't have to say, excuse me, I have to, run out and just run to the bathroom. That's a Kavod HaBrios issue. As once a friend of mine is a Rav in a smaller community in the New York area, and he told me that on Rosh Hashanah, the Chazan motioned for the rabbi to come over in the middle of davening, middle of Chazar Sashatz, I think it was. So he motioned for the rabbi to come over. It was Rosh Hashanah, it was like right at the beginning of Chazar Sashatz. He had just started. And the rabbi came over, and the Chazan turned his machzor, or his siddur, to Asher Yatzar. And he pointed to Asher Yatzar. And the rabbi's like, we could talk about Asher Yatzar later. What do you have to talk about Asher Yatzar now? He's like, no, he's pointing to Asher Yatzar. He wanted to know, what should he do? Should he go to the bathroom? So that if he really, really couldn't hold it in, so obviously then he would have to go. But if he could hold it in, even though it was, even though he couldn't last 72 minutes, l'chora, that's a Kavod HaBrios issue. Chazan's going to have to run out in the middle of Chazar Sashatz. Gabe, is that real? Did you just Google that, or you happen to know that? Gabe just put that, he put it to everyone. Tycho Brahe, one of the fathers of modern astronomy, died from holding himself in for too long?
It's the general theory about how he died. It's the one that the book's all about. I don't think, if you look at Wikipedia, there's a little bit of a debate,
That is wild. So apparently it's dangerous, and apparently it once killed a guy. So that's what the Gemara points out. But for Kavod HaBrios, a person can, Kavod HaBrios docha lo se shabatara b'shevi al tase, right? But over here it's even nisa drabanan, it's docha ol dinim drabanan, right? That's what the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yutes tells us, that Kavod HaBrios docha lo se shabatara, and the Gemara says, lo se shabatara really means only if it's a drabanan or if it's a daraisa b'shevi al tase. So it's certainly in most Kavod HaBrios cases would be mutter. The Eish Lavram Mibachach says that the Gzeres Chazal about Bal Teshaktsu is really dependent on the Deos HaBrios. What would most people consider disgusting? What would most people consider to be Kavod HaBrios? If most people wouldn't stop mid-conversation or mid-activity to immediately use the bathroom because they don't consider it disgusting to continue to have the conversation even when they have to use the bathroom, then you're allowed to continue. So it would seem that this would be a Kavod HaBrios issue. I would add that, let's say, forget about a person who has this kind of of condition. What if you're just in a place where, you know, the bathroom is a porta potty that's been used by thousands of people, it seems, since the last time it was cleaned out or something like that, or the bathroom is, you know, in such condition. You've ever been to, I don't know, I'm sure we've all been places where the public restrooms were not pristine, and you're just disgusted by the bathroom. It could be a bigger balta shaksu to use the restroom than not to use the restroom, right? I'm sure you've all had the experience where at some point you had to go to the bathroom and you walk in and you say, I can wait, and you know, you'll go somewhere else. So it could be that that's a greater level of balta shaksu. So the bottom line is, I don't think that this fellow has any issue. I mean, he should deal with his issue in general, and you know, go to therapy and deal with it through exposure therapy or whatever the psychologist recommends. But I don't think it's any halachic issue that he has to deal with. And Gabe gives us a quote to close tonight's shiur. Tycho suddenly contracted a bladder or kidney ailment after attending a banquet in Prague and died 11 days later on October 24th, 1601, at the age of 54. According to Kepler's first-hand account, Tycho had refused to leave the banquet to relieve himself because it would have been a breach of etiquette. Wow. Okay, covered of brios. He was nervous about covered of brios. So I guess you could take the covered of brios argument a little too far. That's what we've proven. All right, everyone, have a wonderful evening and a wonderful Shabbos, and thank you for coming to learn tonight.